So today we are on Lamed Zayin and Aleph. We got pretty well into the daf, around almost 10 lines down. The words Mi Amar Rabbi Yehuda. It's right next to Tosos Di Ramascha Veheviu. So the Gemara there says Umi. So the Gemara asks Mi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Arba Minim In Mi Dachrini Lo. We said before Rabbi Yehuda only allows you to use the Dal Minim as the schach. Is that really true? He only allows those four, nothing else. Mahatani, we have a brayso that says sichcha ben nisar mishal erez. You have to use cedarwood as the cedarwood boards as schach. Sheish behen dal tfachim. If let's say it has dal tfachim, that's how wide the boards are. Then divya kol psula. Everybody agrees that's disqualified because it's gzeres tikra. Ein behen dal tfachim. Let's say it's less than four tfachim. Rabbi Meir posa. Rabbi Meir still says that's not allowed. However, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Yehuda permits you to use such a schach if it's less than four tfachim. And Moda, Rabbi Yehuda, just continuing the brayso. Rabbi Yehuda, however, admits shem yesh bein neser lenesek kimali neser. If let's say between each of the boards, the airspace is equal to the actual boards, so then shemaniach pesel beneim, you could place some pasel schach in between, so there are no air spaces. Even though it's pasel schach is actually better sometimes than airspace. Uksherin, it's permitted. So that's the discussion about cedar wood. But what comes out here is that Rabbi Yehuda permits you to use erez cedar, which is not one of the dal minim, of course. So the Gemara responds, "My erez. What does erez mean? Hadas. It's referring to hadasim. Kidiraba bar Rav Huna. Dama Rabba bar Rav Huna. Amri be Rav. Asara mine erazim hein. There are 10 different cedars. Shenamor could be cedar. Might be right too exact. 10 types of woods that are referred to as erez in the psukim. Shenamor. Where's the pasuk on the side here? This is found in Yeshaya. I'll read it from the side. Etain b'midbar erez shita v'hadas ve'eit shemen osim barava barosh tidar v'tashu yachtav. Apparently there are a number of types of erezes, and one of them, as mentioned in this pasuk, is erez is hadas. Hadas is a type of erez tree, and that's the type he permits. He only permits, again, the dal minim. So he still keeps his position. Bar now quotes from the Mishnah, Meir Omer Afil b'Mesicha. Mishnah spoke about, what are you allowed to use as the eged, that which ties around the dal minim? So the first opinion said it has to be, Rabbi Yehuda held, has to be only mino, has to be one of the dal minim. We typically use the lulav, dried out lulav leaves. And Rabbi Meir felt that you could use anything you want. You could even use a string. So the Gemara says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Meir, Maisa bi Kira Yushalayim. There was once a story with the, our Mishnah said Anche Yushalayim, I think it was. And the Anche Yushalayim, and this Lashon has Yikira Yushalayim, the special ones, the honored ones. So Yikir Yishalayim, I couldn't point out what's the difference from the Brisa, why it usually Kire, while the Mishnah uses Anshe. Either way, Yikir Yishalayim. Shayu Ogden es Lulavehem b'megimonios shel zav. They would actually tie their Lulavim with golden strings. So you see, Reb Meir brings a riot from this story, that you don't have to use the same min. You could use anything you want as the Eged. Amrulo, the Chacham respond back, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, bring me a riot from them. Bimino hayogdinosa milmata. Underneath, really the true eged was of, let's say, lulav, dried out lulav leaves. On top of it, they made very nice gold strings to make it look pretty. But the real eged was lulav trees, and they actually used the mino.
I'm surprised no one's coming out with that.
Sure.
Everything.
And more expensive.
You just have to insert the real lulav underneath and
make gold.
You walk around the shul with your gold.
Right. Ezra was actually telling me he sells the lulav. So Ezra was telling me he was trying to think of an idea, because all the knots that we use always fall off over the course of. He wanted to make these Velcro.
That one his youngest son does it.
Oh, really?
His youngest son is the.
Okay.
He's an Ursusaurus now. So.
So we have to train him. So he said he was trying to develop this thing. It's a Velcro type of knot. So it's made of the same min, and you tie it, but on top of it, there's a Velcro in addition to that, which makes it stronger. But not, yeah, I guess maybe you could start a business, have a golden golden egg.
So Israel, when he sweeps the floor, you gotta be careful, you might find
some gold. Right. So the Gemara says, Amar lahu Rabba. Rabba says to Lahanu Migale Hoshana, the Bei Reish Kalusa. Those who were responsible for growing and preparing the Hoshanas in the Reish Kalusa, Kiga Delilsa Hoshana, when you wrap together the Hoshanas, the Bei Reish Kalusa, of those members of the Reish Kalusa, Shayare Bei Beis Yad, Kiheche Dehevei Tchatzitza. Make sure you leave a Beis Yad, an area you can hold on to the Lulav, so that there's no Chatzitza. So what's going on here? So Rashi says, look at Rashi, Shayare Bei Beis Yad. Mitachas Le'eged. So make the eged, like that's we have like a nice eged. But below that, leave open an open space so you could hold on to the actual lulav and not holding on to the eged. So Rashi says, Shaloi kachanu b'makom agdo. Don't hold it on to the knot. De kasavar ein ha-eged min ha-mitzvah, krabanan damir ein sarach eged. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who held that you require an eged, so the eged's part of the mitzvah, you can hold on to the eged itself. But according to Rabbanan, who held that the eged is not a mitzvah, so when you're holding on to it, you have to have a kichatama. You have to hold on to the lulav, not holding on to the eged. So make sure when you tie the knots, leave some on the bottom to hold on to the actual dalminim and not onto the eged. That's according to Rabbah. However, comes along Rava, and this is what we rely on. Most of our egeds, unless you're a brisker Rav, the briskers seem to have sometimes just like a string. We have the nice, holders, there's a Yiddish term for it. So we have those. We usually hold on to the actual holders, not onto the dalaminim. So Rava comes along and says, Amar kol linoso eno chotet. Anything that is there for beauty is not considered a chatzitza. Okay. So, this is a very central sugya when it comes to chatzitzas. So, one issue is in terms of the first opinion of Rabbah. Rabbah says when you tie the egged around, make sure that you are not, you leave some area to hold on to the bottom of the lulav and not holding on to the egged because the egged is going to serve as a chatzitza. But what if the egged is actually the same min as the lulav? You're using, as we have, the dry out lulav branches, lulav leaves, and you tie together this whole handle. So we have a concept, min b'mino eino chotetz. If it's two minim, the lulav and the lulav itself are touching each other, that does not serve as a chatzitza. So look what Tosis points out in Dibra Maschel ki hechi de lo levi chatzitza. The Kesavah Rabba min b'mino chotetz. He argues and says, no, when two minim are touching each other, it actually is a chatzitza. Or inami mishum misafkel. He wasn't sure. Tosfos goes on to quote a whole sugya in Chulin whether or not there seems to be a suffix, whether or not min b'minos chotitz or eno chotitz. Okay, but according to what we paskin, Rava thinks no. Whenever something is kol lin osa, when it's there for beauty, such as these handles, it will not be a chatzitza. Gemara continues and says, "Vamar Rabba lo linkot inish hoshana besudra. Person shouldn't wrap around a handkerchief, a piece of cloth, either around his hand or around the lulav and hold it, because the beinan lakichatama v'lek. You have to have a lakichatama, and this is not being accomplished that way when it's being interrupted with his handkerchief." So Gemara points out and says, "No." Rava once again argues and says, "Amar lakicha." If it's holding on to something through something else, the issue here is not a chatzitza, but the issue here is a lekicha tama. Tosfos in the bottom, Dibur Maschil de Be'inam, discusses this whole idea. When do you view a hefsek as a chatzitza, and when do we view it as an indirect lekicha? So he says as follows. When the object is there, it serves a purpose, so then it's chatzitza. Meaning, if the egged is there, which wraps together the dalaminim, otherwise they're going to start flying all over the place. So that chatzitza that string serves as a purpose, it therefore is viewed as a chatzitza. If the object there is not serving a purpose, it's just there, that won't be a chatzitza, that's simply an issue of lekicha tama. So since you're a sudra, you're using a handkerchief, or you're wearing a glove because you don't want your hands to get hurt, or dry, or scratch from the lulav, that's not a purpose for the lulav, that's for another reason, that would not be a chatzitza, but it would be a problem of not being lekicha tama. Okay, so it's not a problem of chatzitza, the question is whether it's lekicha tama, the question is whether lekicha ayideh davar acher is considered a lekicha or not. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, how do I know that lekicha tama through something else? Sorry, lekicha ayideh davar acher, an indirect lekicha qualifies as a lekicha. How do I know this? I think Mar is going to quote a Mishnah in Parah. So Mishnah says the Tanan, Ezov Kutzer. Let's say you have an Ezov, and it's very short. Misafko b'chut, you could extend it. So what's this talking about? So look at Rashi. Rashi tells us, Ezov Kutzer, Shahayu Mavin Mechatas Mir Lir, Bishfoferes Shakonim Aruchos. They would bring the Mechatas, the waters used from the Paraduma, needed to be Metahir, someone who's Tamei Meis. They bring it from city to city, and the Shfoferes Shakonim, a large tube. And they would hide it in there. They keep it there, preserved, in this long tube. And you'd stick the Ezov inside this tube to get the water. If the Ezov was very short, when you place it inside the tube, you couldn't reach it. Your hand wouldn't stick in. It wasn't long enough. So what do? Rashi says, "Misafko maricho." You extend the ezov kidei shepiko in order that it's long enough. So how do you extend it? You use a bekush. Rashi says is pelach poziel shenashim tovosbo, something part of the weaving and the sewing that they would use. You would tie a string to it. Back to the mission now. Back to the Gemara. So again, the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, Ezov Katzer, if you have a short Ezov, Misafko, you extend it, Bechut, with a string or Bekush, some other type of material, Vitobel, you dip it in, Umala, and then you dip it in, you pull it up, V'ochu is be'ezov, Umaz, and then you have to start sprinkling it. So the Gemara says, but why? Why is this good? Why are you allowed to, you're not holding on to the Ezov, you're holding on to the string. V'lakach v'taval amarachmana. You need to do a lakicha, you have to take the Ezov and then dip it in. Here you're not taking the Ezov, you are taking the string which connects to the Ezov. So we see from here, an indirect lakicha qualifies as a lakicha. And Rashi points out something interesting. Rashi el shma mina, shma lakicha. He says, Umihu kishumazet tzarech lechles be'ezov. He points out when you start sprinkling it, however, you cannot hold on to the string, you have to hold on to the actual Ezov. Why? If you're holding on to the string at the end, you're not really paying attention. The way it works with the paraduma, the mechatas, you have to have kavana where it goes. If you have no control, it just goes all over the place, you're just waving it in circles, that's not kavana. You have to be very, very precise in how you sprinkle it. That's what he points out when it comes to the sprinkling. When it comes to dipping in, even l'kicha de'devar acher qualifies. So that's the initial raya Rava brings, that l'kicha de'devar acher is shmal kicha. But Gemara rejects this and says, Mimai, how do you know that's the reasoning? Dilma, shiny has, maybe there's different, cave and the chavri, kegufe dami, since it's connected, they're tied to each other, it's viewed as actually the Ezov. And not because the halacha of ayde de'devar acher, but simply it's because of its connection, it's part of the, it's the extension. This happened to me actually yesterday. I had to get new tefillin. I was mentioning this to you yesterday, I had to get new tefillin. It's cloth at least, but the tefillin boxes were pretty much fine. So the guy let me sit down. When I went to, I asked if I could look at the cloth before it goes back in. So he called me to the sofa. I looked at it, read everything through. And then he said he's going to put it into the box now if I wanted to help him. I got to sit down with the sofa. I got to fold up the tefillin, the cloth, place it inside. He showed me how they string everything together. It was very, very interesting. So he pointed out that one of the halachas is that inside the box there's a gid. And the gid's hard to kind of find. When you make it, there's a gid that hangs out of the box. Now that gid, you have to use to tie around the box when you start sewing the box together. But when they opened the box, it got cut. So the gid was very short. But the halach is you have to have the same gid inside the box that wraps around the outside. So he took another gid and tied it together. So even though there's two different things, it was viewed, since they're connected together, kimechabe gufe, we view that as one continuing gid. It was a very interesting experience. Okay. So therefore, that first mission does not serve as a raya that l'kicha al yedei devar acher shmo l'kicha. Ella. Mehacha, rather, he brings another Mishnah to support this idea. What does the Mishnah tell us? Nafel mishfoferes l'shukas pasol. If it falls from the shoferes to the shukas, it's pasol. What does that mean? So Rashi, nafel mishfoferes l'shukas. This is the wide line in Rashi's. Af ha'efer hayu mevin b'shoferes. Not only did they bring the water in a tube, but they also had to bring the ashes, the burnt paraduma, in a tube. Then they had to be mekadesh the water in a stone type of utensil. If you remember from the first daf, Beis Min Aleph of Yuma, everything had to be done with stone, because stone doesn't become tame. So they did it in stone. And v'hayanosin efer mishfoferes l'mayim mishibashukas. Then you take the ashes from the... So what happened was first you put the water into a stone kli. Then you take the ashes in the other tube and pour the ashes into the water in this shukas. She'efer nosin l'mala k'dilafino besota. You put the ashes on top of the water, like the Gemara in Tota teaches us, mayim chayim el keli. She'mayim nosin tzechila el kli. First the water goes in, v'lo yafsik efer b'yaneim, and there shouldn't be any hafsik. And then the ashes go in. V'hadach sivi points out, nosin alav mayim mokmin l'arvan. But doesn't the pasuk says, nosin alav, don't you place on top of the ashes mayim? Doesn't the water go on top of the ashes? So the Gemara says, Rashi quotes, l'arvan, you're supposed to mix them together. So first you put the water, then you put the ashes, and then you mix them together. Vim kishebol l'kadesh, let's say when you're coming to be mekadesh the water into the stone utensil, nafal ha'efer mishfalferes l'shukas, the ashes falls out. You don't pour it out, but it happens to fall out into the water. Shelo b'miskavin, unintentionally, pasla kiddush, the whole kiddush is disqualified. Dibainan v'lakhu me'afar sreifas ha'chatas, you have to take it, the ashes, from the burnt out chatas, which means the paraduma, v'nasan v'gomer, shelokech b'yado v'nosan, you're supposed to take the ashes and place in the water, not that it falls out. So only if it falls out is it a problem. But the Gemara's medayik, ha'hepilu, if you caused it to fall, meaning you didn't take it with your hands, but you took the tube and you turned it over, you caused it to, that would be kosher. Right, Rashi says, ha'piluhu b'miskavin d'midinafo melav, you intentionally poured it out and let it fall, if you will. Shlo achaz b'efer, you didn't hold on to the actual ashes b'atzmo, el achaz b'shfofer, you held on to the tube. V'naro l'toch shukas ha'kosher, you shook it out into the waters. That this implies that this Mishnah implies that that's permitted. Amai asks the Gemara top line, V'lakhu v'nason amar rachmana. You have to take it and place the ashes in. But you didn't take it. You just took the shfaferis. Elalav shmamina l'kicha de'devar acher shmo l'kicha. We learn from here that it's considered l'kicha, even though it's ayidei devar acher. And that's the opinion of Rava. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, lo lidotz inish lulava b'hoshana.
This is called devar acher, because what? You let it fall in. That's called ayidei devar acher. You're not actually doing it with something else. It's process is just that you're not actively doing it, just falling in.
Are you saying...
What's the devar acher here?
Gravity? The shfaferis. No, the shfaferis. That you're holding on to shfaferis and you're pouring that. And you're using that shofaris to tilt the ashes.
The case of hipilu is you pour the ashes.
You have a circular tube, like a U. Mm-hmm. All the ashes on the bottom. You take this tube and you turn it over, and the ashes pour out. So you cause that. So you didn't actually do lakicha. You didn't take the ashes, you took the shofaris. Happens to be the ashes are inside. So we acknowledge that as being a lakicha, a devar acher. Gemara says, now, I'm a rabbi. Rabbi seemed to be giving a lot of advice on how to do the hoshanas. He says, furthermore, when preparing the dal aminim, lalidot inish lulava b'hoshana. So what does that mean, lalidot inish lulava b'hoshana? Explains Rashi, this is the four lines from the top, lalidot inish lulava b'hoshana. L'acha she'eged harava v'hadas yachad. After you've tied together the harava and hadasim only, lo yitchov halulav milamal besocha ege. Don't try to squeeze in the lulav in the center, because why? So Gemara explains that dilma nisre tarfe v'havichatita. Perhaps some of the leaves of the lulav is going to fall out, and they're going to be talish, and it's going to serve as a chatita between the lulav and the hadasim and revos on the side. And comes on Rava, and Amar, min b'mino inachot. It's the same thing as before. No, it's all part of the same min. It's part of the lulav. It doesn't serve as a chatita. Now, if I remember correctly, there is a comes a min b'mino inachot. We say when two minim, the same exact min rather, is touching each other, it's not a chatita. So since the lulav leaves that have been disconnected are standing between the lulav and the hadasim, and the lulav and the ravos, that's not considered a chatitza. So when we say it's not a chatitza, do we say it's just, we don't acknowledge that there's a break there? Or are we going to go so far to say that there's actually going to be as if they're touching each other? So, for example, when it comes to this is based on the Gemara. The other examples also, when it comes to mine, the Gemara in Bechoros talks about the halacha is when a Bechor, a firstborn animal, a firstborn baby, that in order for the Bechor to be Kadosh, it has to have touching the Rechem. From the mother, as it goes out, it has to touch the Rechem. So that was the Tosfos discussed the idea. Let's say there's a doctor or nurse taking out the child and the hands are in between. Is that going to be considered a chatitza or not? Do we say mim b'mino ena chotitz? So if we say mim b'mino ena chotitz, she's a human and the child's a human, it's mim b'mino. Ena chotitz, not a chatitza. Well, is it going to be considered a negia though? Because lemaisa, the baby's not touching the rechem, the hand's in the way. So do we view it halachically as if there is a negia or not? Comes up in Bechoros. That's one case it comes up. There are other areas as well. I'm trying to remember. It's Avnei Nezer about this also. I'm forgetting which case this is referring to though. I'm a tefillin, I thought it was. Okay, I have to look up. All right, I don't remember. But either way, the question always is it simply not a chatzitza, or is it even a negia? So, Gemara says, Amar Rabba, a new point now, I think we're done with chatzitza. Amar Rabba, hadas shel mitzvah, asil hariach bo. So, that skipped? Oh, maybe I skipped. Okay, so we're still on the same topic. I'm a rabba. Back up. Lo legos inish lulava boshana. A person should not cut the lulav while it's in the hoshana, while it's in the eged. Dimishtayare hutza. Because maybe some of the leaves might remain. V'hava chatzitza. And it's going to be chatzitza. So what's going to happen here? So Rashi says, lo ligud inish lulava boshana im hu arach yosemidai. Let's say the lulav is much longer than minhar rabba. Ubalak tzata, you want to cut the bottom of the lulav. We get the lulav already cut. But let's say it's really, really long. So you want to cut the bottom of the lulav, which is permitted. So, ubalak katato mitachas, and you want to cut it from below, lo yiktitenu be'odo be'aguda. You shouldn't cut it while it's in the eged. Elo yotzienu, first take out the lulav, v'yogu, then cut off mitachas, v'yachsu v'yagud, and then put it back in the eged. Why? Because if you cut it off while it's in the eged, it's possible the mishtayare huta shalulav. Solution: min hashidra b'socha eged. Some of the lulav and leaves might get cut off. So again, you have some of the leaves are of course going to touch the bottom of the lulav. You cut off the bottom, so the leaves are now disconnected, but they're still wrapped to get around in the eged and not going to fall out, and that's going to serve as a chatzitza. Comes along Rava again, Rava Amar, min v'mina nechotit. That's not a problem because lulav, of course, the leaves are the same min as the lulav itself, and it will not serve as a chatzitza between the lulav and the hadasim and the ravos. Now comes along Amar Rava, hadas shel mitzvah. You have the hadasim from the dal minim. Asr l'hariach bo, you're not allowed to smell hadasim. Esog shel mitzvah, mutar l'hariach bo, but the esog you may smell. My time, what's the reasoning? Hadas to the recha koi. The purpose of hadasim, the only function hadasim actually have is to smell. You come here, it's Friday night, I saw some people have hadasim to smell, to say additional brachos. There's a Shulchan Aruch brings down a custom, a pikabala, that machulk is actually the reason why. After Sukkot, you're supposed to take your hadasim and use them as besamim. What's the reasoning? So Mishnah Berurah writes, because kevin da'asa mitzvah chada, asa mitzvah achrisa. Once you did a mitzvah, use it for one mitzvah, use it for another mitzvah as well. You reuse it. We have this concept other places in Shas or in Poskim. Let's say your tzitzis rips. What do you do with it? You can either throw it out in the garbage. It's only it's tashmisha mitzvah, but you could throw it out, or you could use it for another mitzvah. Some say use it as a bookmark. Or let's say another example is when it comes to making erev tchumim, erev chatzeros rather. So you have you join together all the various houses together, and you need a matzah or a bread to join everybody together as one family, if you will. So the Gemara talks about a case where you're supposed to, one of the Amoraim used to make Lechem Mishnah on that challah. Why? Because once it was used for one mitzvah, use it for another mitzvah as well. There are probably other examples also. But so that's the reason why the Shulchan Aruch says to use it for hadasim for besamim. Because the whole purpose of hadasim was to smell. The Beis Yosef quotes out pi Kabbalah that one should place it inside the besamim. That's based on a longer shmooze connecting actually to Purim. Purim and Esther and Hadassah and the Koach HaReach and smell is very much relevant to Purim. There's a connection of Yom Kippur and Purim. Point of Ketores is very relevant. Mordechai is hinted in Mar Dror, the Gemara says. Mar Dror, the Pasuk says. Mar Dachya is the Targum. That's Mordechai is hinted in Torah in the words Mar Dror, which is the summon used for the Shemen HaMishcha. A lot of connections between smell and Purim. So, Api Kabbalah, there's a strong connection to Havdalah, La Yehudim HaYisa'or, we say. Of course, from the Megillas Esther, we say in Havdalah. So, there's a lot to do with Purim and Havdalah. That's Api Kabbalah, why Hadassim are supposed to be used for Besamim as well. Okay, either way. So, the reason why you cannot smell Hadassim on Sukkis is because since the whole purpose of Hadassim is to smell, so Hadassim is a mitzvah. There's a concept of mitzvah machmas, muksa machmas mitzvah. There are types, a few types of muksas we have. Muksa machmas iser, muksa machmas gufo. There's another muksa called muksa machmas mitzvah. It's designated for mitzvah. So this is a muksa, you can't get any hana from it. But it's only the hana that the ultimate purpose of this object is for. So since this object primarily is used for smelling, it's considered also to use because of muksa machmas mitzvah. That's when it comes to hadassim. However, so again, my taima, hadas de la recha kai, the purpose is for smelling, ki akse, when it's separated from muksa, me recha akse, from smell, it's been considered off limits. However, esog de la achila kai, the main purpose of esog is to eat it, ki akse me achila akse, it's when it's designated, when it's set aside for muksa, it's set aside as usher to eat, but one may smell an esog on circus. Vama rabba, Hadas bin Mechubar mutar lahariach bo. Let's say Hadas on a regular, on a Shabbos, not talking about Sukkot right now, Shabbos or even a regular Yontif that's not Sukkot, Shavuos or Pesach. So Rashi talks about referring to regular Shabbos. So if it's Hadasim that's connected to the ground, one is permitted to smell Hadasim connected to the ground. Esog bin Mechubar asur lahariach bo. But an Esog that's connected to the tree, one may not smell. What's the difference? My taima. Hadas de l'harech kai, the whole purpose of hadasim is to smell them. Isharislay, if you permit them to smell the hadasim as connected to the ground, lo asul l'migzay, a person's not going to come disconnect the hadasim from the ground, because if he cuts it off, it's going to lose its potency. He doesn't need the hadasim, he just smells it wherever it is. But esog de l'achila kai, but the purpose of esog is simply to eat it. Isharislay, if you permit you to smell the esog in the tree, asul l'migzay, a person might get so tempted to eat it, he's going to grab it off the tree and violate the blach of kotzer, and violate Melacha Deraisa. That's why we do not permit you to smell Esrogim or any other fruit, for that matter. Machlokes Acharim here, what we can learn from here, just like it's Aser to smell Hadassim on Yantav because of Muksa Machmas Mitzvah, is it Aser to smell any Aser Yisrei Hana? Because Hadassim is Aser B'Hana. You can't get it because of Muksa. Are you allowed to smell, let's say, basra chalav? Basra chalav is asr b'hana. You can't get hana from that. You can't sell it. You can't give it to dogs. You can't get any hana. There's a discussion whether or not you could use it as soap. That's another discussion. But are you allowed to smell basra chalav? Smell, you know, you're walking by McDonald's and they're making a cheeseburger. Is there an isr to smell? So some posts can say, we see from here, just like it's asr to smell hadassim, you can't smell anything asr b'hana. And the shach says, no, it's different. This is not an Isser Hana, this is a Muksa Machmas Mitzvah. It's a different point. You can't bring me a source from Muksa Machmas Mitzvah to an issue of Isser Hana. He thinks one may smell something that's Asr Bahana. Then the Gemara says, Vama Rabba. Rabba says, Lulav B'yamin V'esog B'smol. When you hold the Lulav, it's supposed to be in the right hand, the Esog is supposed to be in the left hand. When we say Lulav, we mean all three, including Hadassim and Aravos. My time, what's the reasoning? Hani T'lasa Mitzvah, V'hai T'chada Mitzvah. Because the lulav, hadas, and rabos is three mitzvahs, therefore it should go in the more chashuv hand, the right hand, and the esog is only one, of course, so it goes in the weaker hand, the left. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zrika, my tam lo mevarchin ela al antilas lulav. What's the reason why we only say bracha al antilas lulav? We don't say al antilas lulav, aravav, hadas, and esog, just in the lulav. What's the explanation? Gemara says, hol v'gavol mikulan, since it's the tallest of all them. Okay, it's a toss. So unclear what that means exactly. Machlok is Rishonim. Rashi writes, Hova Gavol Mikulam. It's Chashivu. V'nikra Eged Al Shmo. It's more Chashiv. It's about the Chashivas. Others say, if I remember correctly, it's simply because it's the tallest one. It sticks out. Not because it's more Chashiv, but it happens to be the tallest one. But it's not a din at all in Chashivas. There are nafkamim, but I didn't have a chance to look into it. The Gemara says, "V'ligbei of l'esog livrach." So, why not take the esog And, you know, Esrog represents a tzaddik, the Esrog represents Klal Yisrael, the Esrog represents the lev. So maybe you should take the Esrog, lift it above the lulav, and say bracha on the lulav, the Esrog over the lulav. It's about height. The Gemara says, no, I'm going to let you hold uvimino gavo mikula. No, since, in general, that type of species, that is what grows longer. The lulav is taller than everything else. Not about which is being held higher. It's which min is actually longer than the other. That's the issue. And that's why we say the bracha, dafka on the lulav, and everything else is included within it. I think there's a discussion, I think, that there's a halacha talks about, let's say you take them up individually. You don't do that one shot. You do zeh or zeh. I think the Rambam talks about this. Do you say a bracha on each one independently? Or do you say the bracha lulav covers the other ones as well? I think there's such a discussion like that. But I'm not remembering. Okay. Right, your new mission. The mission tells us, v'heichan hayu menanin. So how exactly would the nanuim work? When you shake the lulav and esrog, when do you do it? The Mishnah says, behodu l'Hashem techila, v'sof. Hodu l'Hashem, you say it in the beginning, and you say it at the end. You shake it in the beginning, you shake it at the end. So Rashi tells us, what does that mean? Hodu techila v'sof. Hodu sheba techila ha'perek, in the beginning of the perek. V'hodu sheba sof ha'perek, v'sof ha'halel. Right, hodu l'Hashem kitov kilim chasto, in the beginning, and then again at the end, when we repeat the psukim, that's when you're supposed to do it. Min hodu ad sof halel chada parshasa b'minyan parshiel shel sefer tilim. If you're looking at Siddur, apparently that's all one parak of Tehillim. Okay, I don't have a Siddur here, but we'll trust Rashi, of course. Then the Mishnah says, uba'an Hashem hoshia na'azoso, where you do it, divrei beis hillel. That's how we paskin, we do it on Hashem, we don't do it on Hashem atzlicha na. Beishami omrim aft ba'an Hashem atzlicha na, also there, all four lines, they would say it in an Hashem's. But we hold like Beit Hillel, of course. Now, Amar Rabbi Kiva, Sof HaYisa was once observing Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Shekola Am Hayu Menanin Es Lulavim. Everyone was shaking their Lulavim. Veheim Lo Ninanu El Ba'an Hashem Hoshina. And they only shook it during An Hashem. That's the what Rabbi Kiva had observed. Look at this Tosas on the side here. Behodu Lashem Tchila V'Sof. Tosas writes, Hodu Shebetchila Saperek V'Hodu Shebesof Halel Min Hodu V'Ad Sof Halel. That's what we saw in Rashi. Now, the Yesh Mefarshim, there are others who explain, Tchilas HaPasuk, the Sof HaPasuk. Not the beginning of the Parsha and the end of the Parsha, but the beginning of the Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk. Which would mean, Hodu Lashem, Kitov, Kumchaso, and what has the whole Pasuk? Yomer Hashem is part of the Pasuk, I think? I think Yomer Hashem is part of the Pasuk as well. Is it? I'm not sure. So what's the read? It's a very interesting reasoning he's about to tell us. The Taima, the Beis Hillel. Why are you suddenly just doing it on Hashem? It's not the beginning of a parak, it's not the end of the parak. It's smack in the middle of the parak of Tillim. Where does he get this from? Mishum d'chsiv oziranu atzei hayar milfnei Hashem. They point out, now Yiranu Atzehayar, the trees of the forest. This refers to the Dalaminim. You come Yiranu, you have it danced, you have it shaken. After you're coming from Mishpat Haaretz, after you've been judged in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, now Aziranu Atzehayar. Uksib Basrei, what does the next pasuk say? Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilom Chazdo, that's why we shake it then. Uksib Nami Basrei V'amru Hoshienu Lalokei Yishenu. V'hainu, so Hosha, Hosha, Hoshiana. V'hainu Yiranu Shemenanin Es Haluv. You shake it. U'mashabchin behodu ban Hashem Hoshiana. So that's how we do it. Now, very interesting lashon here that Tosfos uses. He says u'mashabchin lashon Hashavach. We mentioned before that in the past, yesterday we discussed whether lulav was the purpose of being mashabach Hashem and a hodu, or was it really a ritzoy? I remember correctly, I'm looking at it now quickly. I think the Rush used a lashon of ritzoy here. Let me look at it now quickly. We have a few minutes. The Rush also quotes this pasuk, I think. Yeah, he quotes it. Oh, no, different. Okay. Different diak. The Rush writes that the same idea as Rashi, as Tosos, but says. Just lost that place for a second. After we become, declared innocent from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzvah, Zuli Yisrael, Sheyu Smechim B'Lulaveyem, K'adam Hayotim Miflei HaShofet Zakai Shu Sameach. It's a din in Simcha as opposed to a din in Shevach. And the third approach would be it's a din in Ritzoy, a din in Karbanos. So it seems to be three approaches in the nature of Dal Aminim. Back to the Gemara now. Gemara now says, Nanua Man Dachashme. We were talking about the Dal Aminim, Psulim, and all of a sudden we say, well, where? How do you do the shaking? Well, whoever said you have to shake in the first place? So Gemara says, Hasam Kai, referring to the very first mission of the Perek, which said, Kol Lulav Sheish Bo Shlosh Tefachim, Kedei L'Naneh Bo Kasher. So any Lulav, the Lulav has to be three Tefachim high, and we said in the Gemara, and plus another fourth Tefach, to be able to shake it. Once we establish you have to shake it, now the Mishnah says, V'kamar Heichem Nanan, and when are you supposed to do the Nanuim? That's what this Mishnah is referring to. Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah where Menachos says, Shtei Alechem, the two lechems, the shnei kivsei ateres, ketzad, hayu osa. How would you shake these? There's a din of tenufa, shaking it when it comes to shnei lechem, when it comes to shnei kivsei ateres. So, ketzad hu osa. Miniach shnei lechem agave shnei kvasim. So this is the karbanos tzibor on shivos. So you take the two lechems, you place them on top of the two sheep. U'miniach yodo tachdem, you place your hand below them. U'menef, and you shake it in molech. Umevi, umala, morid. You go in all six directions, front, back, right, left, up and down. Shinemar, ashehunaf, ashehuram. You do a hanafa, which is in the horizontal directions, and harama is up and down. So you do all six directions. That's the halachas of tenufa. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what's the reasoning? Molech umevi, l'mi sheha'ar baruchos shelo. You're doing the going, coming back and forth to he who has control of all four directions, mala morid lemisha shemayim v'aretz shelo, and you go up and down to that he who has control and rules over the shemayim and aretz, namely, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you're trying to accomplish. So, that's who you're doing it to. Unclear what you're trying to accomplish, but that's who you are shaking towards. Right? See Rashi. Rashi writes three lines in the bottom. L'mi she'ar baruchel shelo, mitzvah zu anu osin l'shmo. We do it l'shmo, l'shem Hashem. Kach mara b'hanavaso. That's the purpose of this. Now, what the reason is perhaps because of simcha, perhaps to show shevach to Hashem. Then the Gemara says, b'marava in the west, in Eretz Yisrael, masnu hachi, they learned the following. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Ukva, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, Molech umevi, you go back and forth, kidei la'atzar ruchos raos, to prevent, to stop the evil spirits from affecting. Very different than what we have in our Gemara. Ma'ale umor, you go up and down, kidei la'atzar t'lalim ram, in order to prevent the other bad spirits as well from above and below. Okay, so before we go weiter, the important Tosas in the bottom here. Tosas dibur maschil kidei. Lots of ruchos reos. So Tosas writes, "Beperek kol menachos baos matza." In that perek, chashiv kol atunim tenufa. They had a whole list of all the various things that require tenufa, that require waving. V'shem lo b'chol tenufos osin kain, dafka b'tenufos shei lechem da'atzeres. But maybe it's only certain things you have to do this type of tenufa only by shei lechem. V'chein lulav mishum damrina in perek hamad rashana the gazer din nechtam the gzar din. Only when it comes to Shelechem, and only when it comes to Lulav. Why these two? Because the Gzar din nechtam Pesach al Tvua. When it comes to Pesach, we get judged. It's considered Rosh Hashanah. We get judged for the upcoming year's grains. Bat Tzaris, we get judged al Peros Elon on the upcoming year's fruits. Ubechag al Mayim and Sukkot when it comes to the upcoming year's water. Lachach Hananua Shabulav Yesh Bo Halacha Vava, and therefore Lulav requires Halacha Hava. Because we're getting judged. Uba'arech perish berech na. What does he define the word na? Tzarech lenanea gimel pa mima kol davar v'davar. Based on Yushami, which I won't read, Tosef quotes of Yushami, you have to go back three times, is how we paskin. Not just once this way, once that way. Three times in each direction, and that's how we paskin. Now there's a machlokas in the poskim, in Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, when you go back and forth three times, are you also supposed to be shaking it as you go back three times, or you just do 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, or you do it shaking during the process? But this is a source in the Aruch that you're supposed to go back three times each direction. Let's go out and continue with the Gemara now. The Gemara says, two lines from the bottom, Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Oven, V'isem Rabbi Yossi bar Zvila, Zos Amaris, this is what it says, this is what we learn from here, that I'm done with my Masifta now, Chayeg Bezu up to Chayeg Gimel, the third and final volume. That means we're two-thirds of the way through Masechah Sukkah. So Zos Amaris, this is what it comes to teach us. That what's this? Rashi says, Zos Amaris, referring to Had the Rabbi Yossi the Kamar Tenufa Otzeres Ruchos Raos V'Tlam Ram, that the waving is what stops all the bad spirits. What does that teach us? Shiari Mitzvah, the leftover Mitzvah Ma'ach V'Nesa Pronios, prevents the bad things from happening. Why? Sharei Tenufa Shiari Mitzvah. Tenufa is viewed as a leftover Mitzvah. It's not Ma'akev the Mitzvah. If you weren't to do the tenufa, you'd still be mekayim the mitzvah. But still, even a shiari mitzvah has a lot of that somehow affects the peronios. So again, shiari tenufa shiari mitzvah hi. It's a leftover mitzvah, if you will. Vod saris ruchos v'tflam ram. Yet it still has the ability to prevent any bad spirits from affecting us. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, top line, shiari mitzvah, mitzvah shaya shirayim, a mitzvah that's viewed as a leftover, remainders, shenu ikur, lakev kapar. It's not the essential mitzvah. It's not the primary way of achieving kapara. The bring of the karbon is. The tenufa is an afterthought, if you will. Afa pikein, still, nonetheless, chashuvahi, it's still considered very important. Lakev is a pranios. It's which prevents us, protects us from the pranios. And why Rashi continues and says, sharei tenufa shiari mitzvahi. V'eina ma'keves, like we learned in the Gemara Yuma, is nam akiv the karbon, and therefore it's called a shiari mitzvah, yet still has the ability to protect us from Peronios. Continuing the Gemara, we'll just get to the Mishnah at least. Three lines from the top, Vama Rava. V'chein b'lulav, so too when it comes to lulav, he's talking about what we said before. Rashi says, V'chein b'lulav, molech u'mevi ma'al mor. You're also supposed to go in all six directions, just like the tenufa. Ravacha bar Yaakov mamtilei. So he was mamtilei, Rashi says, was molech. He went in one direction. Thrust it away from himself. And then umaisile, and then brought it back to him. He did a holich and a mevi. Amar, din gira be'ena de satna. Rashi explains, gira be'ena de satna, hareze lochatz be'ena of shel satan. This is like a arrow in the eyes of the satan. Shiro be'ena of sheinbo koach lenasek me'aleinu ol mitzos. He can't remove from us, he doesn't have the ability to remove from us our want to do mitzvahs. The fact that we're doing the mitzvahs and we're talking didactic in the mitzvahs shows our commitment to the mitzvahs, and the satan has no chance against us when we do this. So, v'la milsahi, and it's not true, because you shouldn't say this. That's what he used to say. He used to say, din gir ve'ena de satan. This should be in the eyes of the satan. The Gemara says, don't say that, because mishum da'as le'aguribe, because it's going to instigate him. You don't want to instigate him, so therefore better not to say anything and just do the mitzvahs, stay quiet, and kind of keep a low key, right? Low profile. Okay. Sure. Let's stop here.